Welcome to Torah Life Ministries, teaching about the instruction of our Creator and putting His Word into action, from suffering well to living a blessed life, looking forward to the hope and future that awaits true believers of the faith. Welcome to the show and your host, Paul Neeson.
The Bible is a book of opposites. And when we understand this concept, we can start to see why so many people are suffering today. The Bible is a book of opposites. It has blessings versus curses, good versus evil, life versus death, and health versus disease. And you can't have two opposites in your life at the same time. You might think you could. People call me up and say, I feel great except for my illness. That's an oxymoron. You can't have two oxymorons or two opposites in your life at the same time. You either have good or evil, life or death, sickness or disease, blessings or curses. And the more obedient you are to the word, the more you will be blessed. We're saved through the blood of Messiah, but we're blessed by being obedient to his word. So when we see that and we understand that, we look at some words that we could transpose and get a better understanding of what it says about health and disease in the scriptures. Let's take the word evil. Transpose the word evil with the word dis-ease. And you get a clear understanding, majority of the time, of what the Bible has to say about dis-ease. Take the word weakness and transpose that with the word sickness. And take the word strength and transpose that with the word health. Not 100% of the time, but the majority of the time, you'll get a clearer understanding of the health message found in Scripture. When we see this, we realize that when we read our Scriptures, it says there are certain things that are revealed to us and certain things that are hidden. Well, on the right time, he will reveal things, everything we need to know. And when it comes to diet, nothing can be more clearly revealed than what we should be eating. And the fact that people aren't eating what the scriptures tell us to eat just shows me people aren't reading their scriptures. There are no misunderstandings. How do you mistranslate, don't eat this? How do you mistranslate that? You know, when we're thinking on our fleshly desire, it's easy to mistranslate that. We could say, well, he didn't mean that. We could bless over anything and eat it. No, you can't. I don't care how many times you bless a Twinkie, it's never going to be healthy for you. You know, but people want to make up all these excuses, you know. So we have to not conform to the thinking and standards of this world, as it says in Romans 12:2. Be not conformed to these thinkings and standards, but let your mind be transformed and your will be transformed by what he wants you to do. So we think about these things, what it has to come down to is a decision versus emotion. Emotions get people in trouble. You know, emotions are supposed to warn us when we're doing something wrong, but it's not supposed to dictate our life. Yeah. But that's what's happening out there. What we need to dictate our lives is our decision. And we make a decision when we're thinking straight, not when we're motivated or excited about something because some program is programming us because they've been trained their whole life to do that. You know, if you don't think that the advertisers can't control us, why would they have pay millions of dollars for a 10-second commercial during the Super Bowl? Because they know how to control you. That's why they call it programming. Right. You know, so we need to make a decision and stick to it no matter what's happening out there, no matter what people are saying. And when you accept Yeshua as Messiah, you're making a decision. I'm going to follow his word no matter what anyone tells me, no matter what my pagan friends tell me, no matter what my non-believing family tells me, or no matter what that pastor might tell me that doesn't believe in the word or doesn't follow the word. Regardless, even if it goes against the grain, we are called to be set apart as believers. Everyone say set apart. And I'll say it with even more enthusiasm. Who are we to be set apart from? From the non-followers, from the non-believers. If we look the same, act the same way, think the same way, eat the same way, get the same sicknesses, have the same sadness, same worries, same fears, we're not set apart. We need to be set apart in all areas. So we look at this, and we look at the guidelines and instructions that are found in the scriptures, and we look at what the Messiah told us to do. He told us to keep and follow the scriptures in the Torah. You know, to go out there and get the word, and get the word in the Torah, and teach it in our actions, and in our walk, and also in every person we speak to, we got to tell them, look, I'm not doing that. And they say, well, why not? Well, the scriptures tell me not to do that. Well, you got to listen to the scriptures and what the scriptures always say. Because I'm a believer, that's why. You know, because I don't want the same problems that are going to come on the people that don't listen to those things. Because I have a passion for my Messiah. We look at what the scriptures say, just something about the days of our lives, how long we should live. It says in Genesis 6:3, yet man's days should be 120 years. Now, I used to think this meant we should be living 120 years. But it doesn't mean that. Because our Creator wouldn't limit our life at all and put a limitation on us. He'll Give us, if we follow his guidelines and instructions, there were people that after the scripture was given that lived longer than 120 years. What this scripture was given is during the time of Noah, when you had Noah building the ark, he said it's going to be 120 years. People have to get right with this or destruction will come. He gave them 120 years. And when the Israelites went over to the promised land, the people didn't just not know they were coming. They had 400 years prior to that. They told Abraham that the children were going to come, get ready. And only one change, and that was Rahab, and she was spared. He's given us time to get right with the word. That's his mercy. He's given us time. He's given you time. But as we see from example, time will run out. So now it's time to get right and start being a believer and a follower of the word and start doing these things. When we look at this and we look at look at a great example here, we can look at Moses. Moses was a man who followed the word. And in Deuteronomy 34:7, it says he lived to 120 years. But then we go on to see in Psalms 90:10, where it says 70 years are given to some, but even some live to 80. The people that were with Moses in the desert that were rejecting the word that Yah used Moses as a messenger, they rejected his word, and their lifespan was cut short 30 to 40 years based on their disobedient actions. During this time, their disobedient actions. Here's what it comes down to. The scriptures clearly show us something we do in our actions has something to do with the quantity and quality of our life. That's what they believed. When Yeshua was around teaching in the first century Christians, that's what they believed. Something we do in our actions has something to do with the quantity and quality of our life. See, now it's different thinking. Now the church pretty much says, well, whatever you do doesn't matter because you're saved by grace and just hang out and wait for the end times and you'll be fine, that everything will be great. You don't have to do anything. But that's not what the message of Messiah was. Something we do in our actions will change this. And we look at Ecclesiastes 7:17. It says, do not be a fool. Why die before your time? Psalms 55:23 says, bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half their days. And Proverbs is another word for wisdom. Everyone say wisdom. It's another word for wisdom. And Wisdom 10:27 says, the fear of Yahweh adds length to life, but the years of the wicked are cut short. But we see our actions have an important part in this, and you could even reverse it. You look at 2 Kings 25, King Hezekiah on his deathbed, and he repented for his sinful life, and our Creator added 15 years to his life. Actions go a long way, everybody. Proverbs 4:10 says, listen, my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of your life shall be many. Proverbs 4:10. And Proverbs 3:1 says, my son, forget not my Torah, but let your heart guard my command, for the length of days, long life, and shalom shall they add to you. You keep his word. We don't suffer from the same diseases that the non-believers are suffering from. It wasn't in his idea for us to suffer from these diseases. Psalms 139:14 says, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works. Genesis 1:31 says, we are made in his image and it is good. What's good about cancer, diabetes, heart attacks, and strokes? We are made in his image and it is good. You know, but disease is not what he intended us to suffer from. Genesis 1:26 and 1:28 says, as humans, we're supposed to have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, and all living organisms. What is a virus? It's a living organism. We are to have dominion over these things, but now they are overtaking us. Now, the first time that happened, we must have been like, something's wrong here. But now it's happened so often and so much, we accept it as normal. He did not want us to be overtaken by these things. If we stick to his plan, we get his desired result. But if we get away from his plan, we're on our own. And this is the problem we have today. Look, in Exodus 15:26, it says it very clearly. If you diligently follow all my statutes and commands, I will not put the same disease upon you that I put upon the Egyptians. This wasn't about Egyptians. It was about the disobedient. If you diligently follow all, not some, but all my statutes and commands, I will not put the same disease upon you that I put upon the disobedient. That's what it says. And then we think about that for a second. And we look at this and we think about when the children crossed over to Jordan. It says this in Deuteronomy. When the children crossed over the Jordan River to go into the promised land, they were given a message. And the message was to go there and separate and divide and destroy every unclean thing. And if you do, I will bless you abundantly. But if you don't, not only will I put the same disease upon you that I put upon the Egyptians, I will give you new diseases that you never even heard of yet. So what did the children do? They went in there. They did not separate and divide and destroy all those unclean things. They mingled the seed. And what happened? They suffered from all these diseases. What's happening today? We have more money, science, knowledge, and topic of the study of disease than ever before with all these doctors and everything else. But the seed has been mingled so much that every single day doctors are naming a new disease. We must be set apart and not mingle this seed. The scriptures give it to us over and over again, and this is the problem we have. Now, when I look at disease and look at why we're suffering, there's two major reasons. One is knowledge, and one is laziness, or lack of knowledge and laziness. And we think about these two things, and this is why so many people are in the issues they're in today. In 1 Kings 3:9, it says, "Give your servant an understanding heart to discern between good and evil." What was another word for evil? Disease. Give your servant an understanding heart to discern between health and disease, good and evil, life and death. In Job 28:28, he says, "To man he said, see, the fear of Yahweh, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding." Daniel 12:10 says, "Many shall be purified and cleansed through trials, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand." You see, knowledge, wisdom is so important. And that's what the scriptures give us when we study it. And I don't want anyone to tell me that they don't have the mindset or they can't remember things, because we go out there, we remember the word of a secular song better than we know the words of scripture. We know every character of a Hollywood movie, but we don't know the characters in the Bible. We have knowledge, we're just using it in the wrong way. Isaiah 33:6 says, "Wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of your times, and the strength of Yeshua and the fear of Yahweh, that is man's true treasure." You know what it says in Hosea 4:6? Hosea 4:6 says, "My people have perished for lack of knowledge." How many of you ever heard that before? "My people have perished for lack of knowledge." But you know what that says in the Hebrew? In the Hebrew that says, "My people perish for lack of the knowledge." And the knowledge they're talking about is Torah. We have knowledge. We know a lot of things. But it's lack of the knowledge. We perish for lack of the knowledge of the Torah. And it goes on to say, "Because you have rejected knowledge, I reject you from being priests for me. Since you have forgotten the Torah of your Elohim, I also forget your children." You can only reject something that's given to you, and you can only forget something you once knew. And not only will we suffer, our children will continue to suffer for rejecting this or forgetting this. You know, diseases don't run in family lines. "Oh, everyone in my family's obese, I got this issue." Or, "Everyone in my family has lung cancer, we got this issue." No, it's not the disease that runs in your line. It's overeating and smoking that runs in your line. You know, start treating your body like a temple and you won't have these curses that continue to happen. We have to take action and do something about it. But we don't take action. Why? Because we're lazy. We're lazy. We're not lazy for things that we love, the things we have passion about. We're not lazy. We'll get up any time to go something we're passionate about. You know, but we have so many idols in our lives and everything else. If somebody says, "Come here on a Shabbat morning," people have trouble just getting out of bed. You know, if the service was 8 o'clock in the morning, you wouldn't have as many people here as you do now. The later in the day, the more people would show up, because people have trouble getting out of bed because they have no passion for the word. You tell somebody, "You know what, you know, you get up 8 o'clock in the morning, I'm going to go tell you to see your favorite music star or something else. We're going to buy tickets to go to a concert. They'll be online at 7 o'clock in the morning waiting for it." You know, the laziness, it goes right along with where our passion truly is. It says in Psalms 127:2, "It is useless for you to work so hard from early morning until late at night, actually working for food to eat, for our Creator gives rest to his loved ones." You see, he wants us to sleep. Sleep is really important, but we need to get up when we need to be getting up and do what we have to do. Proverbs 18:9 says, "A lazy person is as bad as someone who destroys things." When you're lazy, you're destroying two things. Number one, if you're too lazy to get in the kitchen and make yourself a salad, you're destroying your own physical health. And number two is, if you're too lazy to get down on your knees and pray to our Creator without falling asleep, you're destroying your relationship with Him. You know, a lazy person is bad as someone who destroys things. Wisdom 6:9 says, "How long will you sleep, O lazy ones? When will you arise out of your sleep?" You know, we need to get up and do something, but we can't, because we're up all night watching things that have nothing to do with the scripture. You know, the programmers keep us up and keep us motivated to be up all night, and then we can't go to sleep. the advertisers and the government and the world and everything else is keeping us drugged up with caffeine and everything else, and then we say we can't get to sleep at night, so we can't get up in the morning. If we follow the words of our Creator, we're not worried about those things. You know, when He tells us to get up, we get up. We don't say, give us 10 more minutes. We get up and do what we have to do. You know, how bad would it be if I was too sick to come here today to do this message? It's not about me. It's not about you. We're not eating healthy so we can go out and have fun and play more games. No. The healthier we are, the more energy we have. And the more energy we have, the more we're going to go out to get the word out about the good news. That's what it's about. So we think about these things and we see what it says in the scriptures about these things. We need, He's given us a time for everything, a time to be awake and a time to be sleeping. And you know what His time clock is? The sun and the moon. Not this man-made clock, it's the sun and the moon. That's His time clock. When it's light outside, it's time to get up. When it's dark outside, it's time to get ready to go to sleep. Rest and relax. That's what it's about. But we got it backwards in today's world. You know, I tell people, you know, we got to follow His timepiece, His time clock. You know, He gives us a time for everything. He gives us time to be awake and a time to be sleeping. He gives us time to be eating and a time to be resting and not eating. He gives us time to be resting and everything. Look at the daily times, then you look at the weekly times. He gives us the Shabbat. Why are so many people suffering today when they're going to the church on a day that He told us, you know, and they're ignoring the day He told us to go? They're not following the appointed times. Everyone say appointed. If you read the scriptures, they're appointed. They're told this is when you do this. You go to church every other day. It's okay. But to ignore the one day He says to go, and then you're worrying why you're going to be suffering. You know, somebody told me, they said to me once, well, I disagree with you, and they got real upset at me. How are you going to tell me that I'm not keeping the commandments and I'm not following the word about Creator? I said, because you're not. He goes, I certainly am. I go, oh, really? How's that fourth one working out for you? You know, first of all, he didn't even know what it was, but then when he realized what it was, he said, he just sat down, because that's keep the Shabbat. Keep it set apart. Keep it holy. That's what holy means, set apart. Then we have our monthly times to rest, the new moons. Read about the new moons. That's a time to rest and recharging. Then we have our yearly appointments. This is the most important. Look, if you're sick, you go to a popular doctor, and that doctor tells you that, you know, or it's crowded, whatever, you can't make that appointment with that doctor, you got to wait a whole nother week to get an appointment with that doctor, and you get upset, oh, now I got to wait a whole nother week. Well, when you missed a yearly appointment with our Creator, you got to wait a whole nother year to go find Him again. He didn't do away with these things. And again, this is where the blessings come in, and health is a wonderful blessing. You know, get up early. We look at these people. Look, Genesis 19:27. Abraham got up early in the morning. Genesis 28:18. Jacob rose early in the morning. Exodus 8:20. Yahweh said to Moses, rise early in the morning. Exodus 9:13. Yahweh said to Moses again, rise early in the morning. Exodus 24:4. Moses was a busy man, rose early in the morning. He had a job to do. 1 Samuel 15:12. Samuel rose early in the morning to meet Saul. 1 Samuel 17:20. David rose early in the morning. All these people I just mentioned, they had a job to do, and they got up to do it when they were called to do it. Now, if they were up all night watching American Idol or something else, they wouldn't have been able to get up in the morning to do these things. You know, they understand, you know, about the daily times and the yearly times and so on. Well, then we could look at what it says in the scriptures about taking care of our body and the food we're eating or not eating according to the scriptures. We look at 3 John 1:2. 3 John 1:2 says, dear friend, I hope all is well with you and that you are healthy in body as you are in spirit. I hope all is well with you and that your physical health goes along with your spiritual health. This is what it says. But we have this habit and addictions in today's world, but we got addicted to eating things we shouldn't be eating and doing things, eating at the wrong times and the wrong amounts and so on. But we can change that. You know, when we start changing, we start thinking, when it comes to our diet, there's three areas that we messed up, three areas that we went wrong. And you take care of these three areas and everything else will work itself out just fine. The first area is we give no consideration what He said the food we should be eating is. We don't even give consideration about how to eat the food. You know, the second area is we don't look at the timetable He told us when to eat the food. And then finally, we make an idol out of our food. Let's look at the first area, how He told us to eat. He gave us teeth for a reason. He gave us saliva in our mouth for a reason. He created and designed us, and he created the food that we're supposed to eat and designed it. And if it works properly, we have good digestion. If we have bad digestion, that is disobedience. We're not doing something he told us to do, because he didn't make us imperfect where he wanted us to suffer from bad digestion. So we look at this and we think about the saliva has an enzyme in it that helps us digest the food. So if we chew our food with the teeth he gave us to chew our food, the body starts digesting the food even before it gets to the stomach. So when it gets to the stomach, the body has less work to do. If it has less work to do, it's using less energy to do it. And digestion takes more energy than any other process of the human body. So if it's taking so much energy to eat food because we're eating it the wrong way, not chewing our food, guess what? We need more sleep and rest. And then we end up not getting the proper sleep and rest we need. And that's where cleansing truly takes place. And that's where we begin to suffer. But you just told me not to get up late. Shouldn't I be staying in bed if I'm not getting enough sleep? No, you should be eating less or eating and chewing your food so you don't have to worry about needing so much sleep. You know, if we think about these things, we just simply overeat and we don't eat the food the right way. Just chewing the food. I learned this from some dogs I had. I used to put the food in the ground, and before I got up, the food was gone. I said, I'd never seen anyone eat so fast until I started eating with people. You know, at least a dog does something that people don't do. I've yet to see a dog bark with food in its mouth, but I see people talking with food in their mouth all the time. You know, we need to slow down and realize, you know, chew your food and digest your food and then talk. But that's it. People aren't eating the right way today. You know, they're eating too much, too often, and too late. And then they get what truly the beginning signs of disease. Something is so normal that people just, they don't even think it's a disease, but it is. Laziness and constipation are the two beginning signs of disease. If you don't take care of that, it's going to keep coming back worse and worse and worse. And just because you go to the bathroom doesn't mean you're not constipated. You know, if you're going to eat 7 times a day and go to the bathroom 1 today, you better be in that bathroom a long time or you're constipated. But these are the things that are happening. As a matter of fact, I know people that are so lazy, they're happy they're constipated, so they don't got to get up and go to the bathroom. That's how crazy it is in today's world. Now, some people try to deny that, but I don't listen to people that are full of something, you know? So we have to understand, if you're eating the food he told us to eat, you'll have no problem enjoying it and digesting it and so on. He told us to eat the things we were designed to eat, and the fruits and the vegetables. In Genesis 1:29, it says in Genesis 1:29, look, I have given you the seed-bearing plants throughout the earth and all the fruit trees for your food. You know, that's what we were designed and created to eat. If you're in a jungle and you look up and you see a banana and a monkey in that tree eating that banana, you're not going to look up there and say, that monkey looks good. I got to figure a way to get that monkey and eat it. No. You're going to be thinking, I got to figure out a way to get those bananas away from that monkey because it looks good. But today's thinking is wrong. People want to eat the monkey and the banana and they're still not satisfied. You know, people just got it backwards. They're just never satisfied. That's the real disease of Scripture. Somebody can go to an all-you-can-eat restaurant and still be hungry when they come out. They're just not satisfied. They're going to eat their whole meal and say, I'm so full, I can't eat another bite, and here comes dessert, and they can make room for that. They're not eating for the right reasons. If we start eating for the right reasons and eating the right way, we won't have the, you know, people say hungry, I'm so hungry, I can't eat. You know, what if I'm supposed to do if there's no good food around? Then don't eat. I'm going to starve. No, you won't. You can miss a meal. It's okay. You know, you don't never know what starving is. I mean, if you're truly starving, you won't have the words in your vocabulary, I don't like that. I mean, you give somebody who's truly starving some food, they'll eat the food in the plate it came on. You know, but we have leftovers. Oh, I have leftovers. I'm so full. Until I just don't like it anymore. I want something else that's going to drug me up and make me eat more and so on that they do with everything else. That's what's happening. Then we look about, okay, so what we should be eating, the fruits and vegetables. 75 to 80% of your diet should be fresh fruits, vegetables, nuts, and seeds. Raw, ripe, organic is even better. But you want fruits, vegetables, nuts, and seeds. That's what we were designed. Now, people say, well, what about meat? Can we eat meat? Uh-oh. The scriptures say, well, what do the scriptures actually say about meat? Well, the scriptures say clearly, we're okay, we can eat meat. That he approved. He didn't approve meat that people are eating today. This oxymoron thing, I can go to a church and you see women in bikinis and men eating unclean meat, and they're thinking like, I'm not doing an oxymoron. Yes, you are. That's not what the scriptures are saying to be doing. We have to understand in Leviticus and Deuteronomy, he told us the animals that were okay to eat. And he told us, you know, he even identified how to identify those animals in case there were other animals later on that were discovered that aren't written there. But he told us the animals not to eat. Some people will say that's unclean food. That's an oxymoron. There's no such thing as unclean food. If it's unclean, it's never meant to be food. But we don't think these things. We just want to eat whatever we could pray over anything we want. We could eat whatever we want. And then when you eat what he says it's okay to eat, if you overeat it, then that's not following the design we're supposed to live by. It says in Proverbs 23:20, do not carouse with drunkards or feast with gluttons. And not only it tells not to overeat, it tells not even to eat with people that overeat. This is why I usually eat by myself. Look, the Bible doesn't tell us to be a vegetarian, and it doesn't tell us we have to eat meat. There's only one place in the Bible that commands us to eat meat, and that's during the Passover. That's the only place. You know, and even in those days when they ate meat during a special feast, on a special occasion. Not like today, people eat meat 4 or 5 times a day, and then they're wondering why they're suffering and stuff. You know, the scriptures are clear on these topics. So if you want to eat meat, eat, do it the right way. But here's the problem I have. How many of you heard by a show of hands of the word kosher? Now by a show of hands, how many of you actually know what it means? See the issue? You know, we have to understand what this means if we truly want to understand. If we are going to eat meat, we got to do it the right way. And I'm telling you, it's almost impossible today, unless you have your own farm, to eat kosher meat that's healthy. Kosher meat today isn't healthy. Here's what the word kosher is. I'm going to give you 3 definitions of kosher. The first definition is biblical kosher. Biblical kosher means the Bible says it. It's written there, right in the word. That's what the Bible says, and that's what I'm going to do. Biblical kosher, Leviticus and Deuteronomy tells us what animals are okay for consumption. Then there's rabbinical kosher. Rabbinical kosher means some guy looks like me has to say blessings over it for it to be okay. Well, we don't got a list of the, now the rabbinical and biblical usually go together, but they're adding a lot more to it. Now, if adding to it's going to make it easier for you to do it, great. But if it makes it harder, then that's the problem. Then there's what I call common sense kosher. Common sense kosher means I don't care what the written word says. I don't care what some man says. If that food isn't going to build my temple, if that food isn't good for my body, I'm not putting it in there.
This is just a clip of a teaching I've done, and you can see the full teaching about health in the scriptures on my website, TorahLifeMinistries.org, or my YouTube page, Torah Life Ministries. Thank you.
You've been listening to the Torah Life Ministries with your host, Paul Neeson. If you would like to learn more, please visit TorahLifeMinistries.org or call 917-407-2270. This program is made possible by the generous support of listeners like you. To donate, visit the website at TorahLifeMinistries.org or send your gift to P.O. Box 5503, Lake Worth, Florida, 33466. Thank you for your prayers and support.
Hi there, this is John Nelson with FamiliesRecover.org. We offer hope and support for families being torn apart by addiction, enabling healthy decision-making that leads to a productive and meaningful lives. You can reach us at 772-285-5828.